Hey everyone, and welcome to the DIY Video Guy podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Wojcik, and today we're going to do a little bit of a retrospective look at 2015. The year is gone, and this year is already almost a week in at the time of recording this. And something I do each year is I sit down after Christmas before the new year, so usually around the 30th and 31st when there's not really much going on. Most of the family and holiday stuff is over, and there aren't really many client projects or people emailing you and bugging you. And what I do is I take some time, usually a few hours on the 30th and a few hours on the 31st, to just look back. So I look at a lot of different things that happened in the prior year, and I try to assess what I learned from it, what did go well, what didn't go well, and then kind of move into planning the next year. And so in this podcast episode, what I want to do is basically make an audio version of my annual review that I published on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2015, because I know some people only consume the podcast and some people don't like to read long posts. I actually don't read many bloggers nowadays. I just consume video and audio. So I wanted to put it in a different format and share it with you guys because I think it's really important to hear other people reflecting back on what they've done over a certain amount of time. I certainly learned a lot and have been inspired a lot by people's annual reviews, their, let's say, income reports, or just sharing what they learned doing a postmortem on their year, their month, or just a project they worked on. So I wanted to share a little bit of that in this episode. And then at the end of the episode, I'll be talking about some of the new direction for DIY Video Guy and who we're going to be focusing on helping and how we're going to be doing that. So looking back at 2015, there were a lot of reasons to celebrate. I had a lot of cool clients that I got to work with. We grew DIY Video Guy through podcasts and videos, as well as releasing updates to old products or creating new ones for you guys to use and to get better at making videos. So it was a really big year. It also started out as a very trying year too, though. My wife, Jen, had her third round of surgery to have cancer removed from her tongue. And the success of that, and thankfully no further appearances of cancer coming back since then, has actually helped fuel me in a way to help her get back to full strength and nurture and take care of her towards the beginning of the year, and then help her get her business back going as well or throughout the rest of the year. And her health challenges have pushed me to work harder, think bigger, make more things, and take plenty of time to enjoy life with friends and family along the way. And so as I talk through this year, I'll talk about some of the travel that I was able to do through work or for fun. And I hope you were able to travel as well through this year, because I think that travel really gets you in a different mindset to either think about your work or take a break from it if you need it. But before I look back on the rest of 2015, it really helps to look even further back. And I've been doing these annual reviews for about 5 years now, which in 2011 was when I really started blogging. And so each year while I do my annual review, I read through each of the previous ones. And I kind of look at my former self and I go, oh, you don't really know what you're talking about. Or like, at least I see how far that I've come. And so in 2011, I started blogging. I quit my day job at Boeing. I married Jen and we traveled for 3 months straight all over the US on a big road trip. In 2012, I co-launched Fizzle.co with Corbett Barr and Chase Reeves. I started my first podcast, the Cubicle Renegade podcast. I shot my first real video of myself, which if you are shooting videos, you know that first video you shoot and then publish, which typically isn't the first video you shoot, is always a big step. And I started a mastermind group with Barrett Brooks and Nathan Berry that's actually still going strong over 3 years later. And Baron Quadro from Effortless Gent is also in that mastermind group. And I wouldn't be where I am today without those guys. In 2013, I lived in Italy for 6 weeks with my wife. I helped grow Fizzle to over 1,100 members. I started doing client work for video production. Jen was diagnosed with cancer for the first time, and we got a puppy. In 2014, Jen's cancer came back. I left my job at Fizzle to go solo and run Caleb Logic Films, the video production arm of the work that I do, and DIY Video Guy, running those full time. And I earned a living on my own for the first time ever, being my own boss, not either working for a corporation or for a small startup, and did that for a few months there in 2014. And so I look back this far because only in looking back can you accurately assess what you're capable of doing going forward. And I always overestimate what I can do in a day, and I usually overestimate what I can do in a month, but a year is a time frame that is pretty long, and while you don't want to jam-pack your year, I planned a lot for 2015, and I had a lot of client projects that I knew were coming, a lot of conferences and events I wanted to go to, but there were still times in 2015 where I didn't have a major project, and maybe I coasted a little bit. And if I would have planned a little bit more into my year and commit to some things, maybe I would have accomplished more and helped serve you guys more and make better tutorials and courses and stuff for you to get better at making videos and also be able to work with more clients and to bring more money in the door that way as well. So let's now look at 2015, which ended up being probably the busiest year of my entire life, but also one of the best. So first, what went well? My three main business goals for this year that I wrote in my 2014 annual review, which I honestly didn't really look back at these throughout the year. They were in the back of my mind, but I didn't have them posted anywhere, were number one, turn pro on consistently releasing free content, podcasts, videos, email courses, and paid courses to serve and grow the DIY Video Guy community. Number two, create products, workshops, and advanced training to impact people deeper and to grow the bottom line of my business. Number three, run my company like a CEO or a CFO would by using an accountant each month, doing financial forecasting, and doing profit and loss reporting. And I would say I only got marginally better at each of these. I did release more free content. I made some email courses that were free. We updated the production course. We made a new Premiere course. And I also made more of an effort to put on that CEO hat, dig through QuickBooks, get that set up properly at the beginning of the year, using Quicken for our personal finances, stay on top of invoicing and estimates. And I would make some accounting reports sometimes and look over them and see how the business needed to change. But I'm right now in the process of finding an entrepreneurial focused accountant and a bookkeeping team to kind of hand off some of that stuff so that I don't have to do it myself, because that's not my core competency. I do have a little bit of a finance background and personal and in corporate, but that's not what my business does. So I should hand off that responsibility. So here's what else went well this year beyond just following up on some of those goals. Number one, I survived and thrived during the first full year running my own business, and I made more money than I've ever made before. I was also able to hire Tim, who was working with me part-time, my brother-in-law, to full-time a few months ago. So now both of us are working on this business together. And moving on to number two, we got a lot of client work, partially through pitching people, pitching or cold emails or like telling people that I'm friends with that I'd like to work with them, or through people just finding me through the web or through word of mouth. And we got to travel extensively for video shoots as well. I went to Spain, France, and Andorra on a trip to shoot a travel photography course that we're working on. I went to Ghana with Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income to do a little documentary video of his trip with Pencils of Promise and seeing the schools and the work that's being done over there through money that he helped fundraise. Went to Nashville, went to Austin a couple times, San Francisco, Phoenix, and more. And all of those were because I was doing video production work and got to go with clients and film. And so I've talked on this podcast before about some of my tips for traveling and shooting video on a previous episode. But being able to travel is something that I really highly value. And so being able to do that and get paid to do that was a really great experience this year. Number three, I made substantial video equipment investments. As we get down into the finances later in this episode, we'll actually break down how much we spent this year, but thankfully I reined it back a little bit after a certain point, because gear purchases are kind of an endless cycle that at a certain point you kind of need to put on hold. I really, really recommend that you invest in good equipment to make your videos look and sound better. But at some point, you could spend all of your money and all your profits on that. So you need to kind of cut it off at some point. The main things we bought this year were a Canon C100 Mark II at the beginning of the year, a Sony RX100 Mark IV, which is a small point-and-shoot camera that I've used for vlogging style videos and behind the scenes. And then a GoPro Hero 4 Black is another thing that we invested in. A lot of the other things are less sexy, like travel bags, battery packs, cables, lighting modifiers. And as we go into next year, potentially upgrading to shooting 4K is one of the things I'm looking at, as well as just having a little bit more professional equipment. So getting things like C-stands and better lighting modifiers so that when we're on shoots, we have a lot more options for doing lighting and doing setups and flagging off light in places, because when we go to client shoots now, I do feel a little limited in our modifying of light sources. Number four, I put out video and audio shows fairly consistently. I missed a stretch in April and May, partially due to that Spain and France trip where we were gone for a few weeks. And I also eased up in December a little bit, as I like to take a little bit of a step back during December and the holidays to kind of look at what's been working, what's not been working, do my annual review, and kind of pick a new direction, or at least double down on a certain direction in the new year. But we put out 34 podcast episodes and 30 video show episodes. And that's not every week, but it's more than every other week. And they're both things that I want to do more of going into this year. And so you can expect to see a higher frequency of both of those in 2016. Number five, I launched two courses. One was a relaunch that I'm super proud of, the DIY Video Production Guide, which you can get to at DIYVideoGuide.com. That we completely reshot from scratch. We shot 50 new videos. I think it's 4 or 5 hours long. And it's version two of the course that I had put out in 2014, that you can still get access to all that material, the ebook, and some of the interviews and tutorials there as well. But this is a full new course. And if someone were to want to shadow me for a day, I just still don't think that I would be able to teach them as much as is in this course, because of how much work we went into figuring out what should be in there and making all the tutorials. So when someone says, hey, can I shadow you for a day? I honestly recommend this. Unless I'm going to do a shoot that is multifaceted and they could learn stuff on the go that way, this course is the best way to kind of pick up a lot of the tips and tricks that I use when I'm filming stuff. Our other course was the DIY Premiere Pro Guide, and that one launched in November, and we're looking to make some more for other pieces of software like Final Cut Pro 10 and ScreenFlow as well. Number six, I stretched my video skills. I've always been a fan of lifelong learning since jumping into this entrepreneurial world, and so I'm always watching tutorials, I'm always trying new things that I've picked up and watched someone else be able to do. But I feel like this year I actually got to implement some of those things. So we live streamed an all-day event called One Day BB for Pat Flynn and Chris Ducker, where we had to rent Blackmagic production cameras. We live streamed it. We had someone doing the audio, and we had five cameras going with different angles. And it being a live event and being live streamed, there couldn't really be any hiccups. So that was a good thing that stretched my video skills. The documentarian style videos that I did for Pat Flynn and Pencils of Promise were another thing that pushed me. We were run and gunning basically the entire time, because we were on a bus with the Pencils of Promise team and other donors. And I didn't even use a tripod or a monopod the entire time. So I was hand-holding my C100 with an image stabilized lens, and I had it holstered to my hip with also a 5D Mark III because I was taking photos. And being in that kind of environment and having to get really good footage outside whenever I can, hand holding, it really pushed me because I'm most comfortable in a controlled environment with studio lights and cameras locked down on tripods and things not moving around. And that's comfortable to me. That's a little easier for me. So going on a trip and doing a little bit more of that style was another thing. I also made a few vlogs when I was up in Portland for World Domination Summit to kind of see what it's like to do that. I'm still not comfortable at all turning the camera towards myself at arm's length and talking into it when other people are around me. But I think it is a valuable way to communicate. And I do enjoy watching some vloggers, and I'm really curious about that format. And so that's something I want to be doing more of this year, more in an educational way, less in an entertainment way. So if I do a vlog or a behind the scenes video, it'll be in like, how can I help people by showing them this, and less of an entertainment way, I think. But it's something I'm pushing myself to do more of. I also got better at color grading and correcting and understanding the tools inside of Premiere and other programs, and tinkered a little bit more with motion graphics, which is those are two areas, both color and motion graphics, that myself and Tim and I want to have better skills of inside our team, or at least connect with people that have those skills to be able to offer that to our clients and to have it in our DIY Video Guy videos. Number seven, brands have been a little bit more willing to work with DIY Video Guy. And this is based on the reach of past gear videos. My most popular video on YouTube has almost 150,000 views at this point, and it's one of the first videos I put on YouTube for this channel. And it's about the Scarlett 2i2 from Focusrite, which is a audio interface that I used for podcasting for a while. Now I have a newer 18i8. But that video gets tons of views, and it leads to affiliate income and things like that. But being able to point at a video like that that's done really well for me has enabled me to get more interest from other companies that I want to partner with. I also get emails from companies that I don't want to partner with, but I politely decline and move on. But for companies I do want to work with, it's easier, basically. It's easier for me at this point because I've built a little bit of a following, and some of my gear videos have some traction, so they can see the potential of working together. And number eight, for what went well, I took an entire month off in the fall. My wife and I traveled through Ireland, Scotland, and England for 4 weeks straight, and I didn't really work. I did check in on my email to make sure that there wasn't anything major going on, but one thing that we hustled to do before I left was get video episodes and audio podcasts scheduled and ready to go while I was on that trip, so no one really knew that I was gone and it didn't look like I was just not showing up. So that was something that helped me be at ease, as well as finishing up client work before that trip. And my wife and I also were able to take some shorter trips to Kauai, Portland, and to Cabo with her family. So it didn't go well this year. Well, number one, I only released 2 paid courses and 2 free email courses. I wanted to release way more of these, but I basically needed to put client work on hold whenever we planned, shot, edited, and launched these. And if there was a client project that was in work and was reaching a deadline, I would say we pretty much always prioritized that. There was very few times where we prioritized DIY Video Guy stuff over client work. And maybe that's just a mental shift that I need to make, but it's something that I'm aware of now. And so when we do want to focus on DIY Video Guy courses or free content, we're planning that around when we know we have client work and just being a little bit more pro about our schedule. Number two, I didn't really seek out big brands or video projects. I have some ideas, and we worked up some storyboards for specific companies we want to work with, or kinds of videos in certain niches in the outdoor sporting space. But since I don't really have those connections and don't know who to contact or how much I should prepare for those meetings and at what point I could convince them that we could deliver on the promise of the kind of videos we want to make if we don't have that work to point to that's similar in our, you know, like a demo reel or in our portfolio. So that's something that I want to be working on going into next year and connecting with some of those brands and companies and projects that I want to be working on. Number three, I feel like I kind of worked in a bubble, and this is partially because I work at home, partially because I'm an introvert, and partially because when you work online and you have friends online and all over the place, you maybe don't feel like you need to get out as much. But I didn't really seek out partnerships online either. It was more just having friends online that I talked to. And I didn't really ask to work with companies that I wanted to be working with very much. There may have been one or two client projects we did this year that I approached people and then we eventually worked together. But for the most part, it was just inbound. And so to grow the business, we need to do more outbound sales and marketing and networking with clients, peers, and outlets we want DIY Video Guy stuff to be featured on, or companies that we want to work on client projects for. So I just want to not work in a bubble so much, trying to build a network of people in San Diego that I know more and go from there. Number four, I didn't rebrand and or redesign DIY Video Guy. I wanted to do proper branding for DIY Video Guy all year and then redesign the website, but I never made it the top priority. I never made it priority for us to do that. And I also didn't rebrand or rename our production company. Right now it's called Caleb Logic Films, partially because that's the domain that I had when I was just doing stuff on the side, and partially because it's really quick to get a sole proprietorship up and just doing business as your own name. So that's why I had that as the name, but I think I'm limiting the growth of the business by having it branded as my name. Not sure if that's true or not, but that's just kind of how I feel right now. So the next thing that I kind of struggled with through 2015 was that I didn't really figure out the best format, angle, or purpose of this show. We tried a lot of different things. I knew doing an audio podcast about video would be a challenge. I just don't think I've landed on the best use of this medium for helping you. I liked doing the talk show style with Tim, where we would pick a topic and kind of talk about it. I like doing the interviews with video makers, but that's such a broad audience that I wasn't being specific enough in who I was bringing on, and it was kind of vague what the purpose of each of the episode was sometimes. And I did like sourcing some answers to certain questions, like we did in the 4 or 5 part series around September or October, where we interviewed people like Sean McCabe and Pat Flynn and Corbett Barr and people and asked them specific questions. And then we turned it into a narrative. And Tim did a really good job on pushing me and making those episodes what they were storytelling wise. But those are a lot of work as well. And so I think what the struggle has been is I've kind of viewed the podcast as something that sometimes is taking energy away from making videos and tutorials, and maybe that's the best way to serve you guys. But I'm really committed to making this audio podcast work because A, I like doing it. B, I really love podcasts. I love listening to them, consuming them. I get a lot out of other people's. And C or three, I can't remember if I was doing letters or numbers. we really think that hearing from other people that make videos, maybe YouTubers specifically, small filmmakers, those people can help encourage you to keep doing your thing, and you can pick up things through conversations that you don't necessarily get through tutorials or gear reviews or courses or anything like that. You get nuggets and insecurities and stories you haven't heard before from these people through interviews. And so I think that's going to be the direction for the show going forward, interviewing mainly, I would say, video makers on YouTube. But I'm sure we'll have some filmmakers in there as well, and sometimes some people from maybe companies, like people from music licensing companies, to hear about the best ways to license music and how to find the music. And so I think there's going to be still an ongoing process here of figuring out this show's purpose and format and everything. And there'll be solo episodes like this from time to time, I'm sure, as well as episodes with me and Tim or interviews or what have you. So still kind of playing with the format. And I like to keep it fresh because it keeps it fun and interesting for us as we make it. Number six, I didn't really edit my personal photos or videos from my travels. So when I'm working for a client or making something for DIY Video Guy, that task goes somewhere like Asana with a date attached to it, and photos or videos get edited and shipped. And this isn't really the case for what I've documented on our personal trips, unless I take them on my phone and they just go on Instagram. So I want to get better at actually editing those and putting them out. Number seven, I spent way too much on the inside of my business. So not counting payroll, we spent way too much money on travel for conferences, equipment, monthly services, and more. I would like to spend less next year, but it's very possible we won't because of some of the investments I want to make, of getting out of my bubble and going to events and networking and what that leads to. So I guess what I want to do next year is spend more focused money and know where it's going and not just letting money slip out the door. Number eight, I really think that my quality standards hindered the amount of quantity that I put out. So what I mean by this is that when I have nice equipment or a studio to shoot in with soundproofing and backdrops and all these things, I won't put out a video because I know that I could shoot it at a certain level. And I kind of want to keep that bar high. And I worry too much about the production quality of a video or an audio podcast, which is why I didn't put out something every single week like I wanted to last year. And I plan to push myself a little bit more to put out stuff that's maybe less polished quality-wise, meaning maybe the audio isn't the best because of where it's being shot, or maybe it's a little shaky because it's on a point-and-shoot camera, vlogging style. But as long as the content or what's in the videos or in the audio podcast is valuable, then I will still publish it. So that is something that I think you can really take home and take to heart as well, where you don't always have to reach that top bar. You kind of just need to know what that top bar is and release some things at that level. But some of the best behind-the-scenes footage I've seen, or vloggers I follow, or other video or audio content, if what's inside of it is really, really good, then that trumps the quality sometimes. Now, having them both good, having good quality and good content, is really important, but I think that it doesn't always have to be at that 99% level if you can get it to the 80 to 90% quality level. Okay, so now let's move on to stats and metrics for the year. And I'll go through these kind of quickly. If you want to see them in all their detail, you can go to diyvideoguide.com/55, so /55. That'll redirect you to this written annual review. And I know that reading numbers and stats on a podcast isn't the best way to consume them sometimes. So I'll try to get through this piece fairly quickly. And maybe I'll skip through some of the numbers so it doesn't get too tedious. But it's really easy to get on the hamster wheel of putting out podcast episodes, YouTube videos, any sort of content, blog posts, email courses, paid courses, and to forget all the ones you've made in the past that people are still absorbing, consuming, and you never really analyze those stats behind your audience and how it's grown and what they're consuming most. So that's why I try to take time to do this each year. And also each month I kind of do it in a line-by-line way. So we put out 34 new podcast episodes, so episode 21 through episode 54, nearly 60,000 plays and downloads of the podcast in 2015. I'd love to see that grow next year. 30 new videos, so that's episodes 1 through 30 of the DIY Video Guy TV show. About 50,000 podcast downloads on Podbean. We had 305,000 views on YouTube. About 75% of those were from videos made in 2014. About 25% were from videos made in 2015. And we gained about 2,800 YouTube subscribers to get us up to about 3,300. And YouTube is where my target audience lives. I mean, that's where the home of video is online. And I know I'm hindering my growth potential there by doing a couple things. First, time and energy spent on this podcast would be hindering any energy we'd put into more YouTube videos. So of the 50 plus audio podcasts, hours go into making each of them. We could have put that into making more YouTube videos. Second, by hosting a video show also on iTunes and getting those 50,000 downloads, those could have also turned into YouTube views, maybe, because if you couldn't get my video show on iTunes, maybe you'd went to YouTube and subscribed and watched there, which would help rank those higher and things. But while one of my main goals is to continue to grow my YouTube subscribers at the same rate next year, which we about 7x'd it from the start of last year to the end of last year, which means if we did that again, we would hit about 22,000 subscribers by 2017, which I think is totally doable. And I know from other YouTubers that the subscriber momentum definitely picks up. And so I think that's something we can totally do this year. You can always check me out on YouTube and help us reach that number and help support the show by doing that. But I like having an audio podcast. I also know that people have found out about me through that iTunes video podcast that maybe would have never found me otherwise. And so I kind of want to keep both of those things still going, and I'm not really making a major decision one way or the other right now. Next, moving on to numbers for revenue, expenses, and net profit. I used to share my net worth each month when I blogged about personal finance, and the transparency of some of the other bloggers I followed then and entrepreneurs who share their own numbers and behind the scenes on how they make their money, how they spend their money, and reinvest in their business has helped push me to earn more, do more, and be more on top of my finances. So here are the finances for Caleb Logic Films and DIY Video Guy in 2015. These are pretty close to the final calculations. I did them on December 30th, so they're 95% of the way there, but these aren't like legit tax numbers or anything like that. So I launched two courses for DIY Video Guy, the DIY Video Production course, which brought in a little over $25,000 in 2015 before fees, and the Premiere course brought in about $5,000 in 2015 pre-fees. So that's 158 total customers and just over $30,000 in course sales. So people always talk about how you have to do this huge list to make a bunch of course sales and things like that. And I haven't had a six-figure course launch of my own or anything, but only 158 people paid me to learn from these courses. And each of them had a small impact in bringing in money in the door to help, you know, afford for me to live my life and to hire an employee and help provide for them and to reinvest in the business and to help enable us to have a studio space to film our YouTube videos in and to work with clients and afford the equipment to then do better work for our clients. And so just having courses available, even if you only make a few sales, 158, for example, that, you know, $30,000 can make a big impact. And in some places in the world, you can live off of 158 people paying you to learn something. And so that's why I really encourage you to make things like video courses. And it can be a big part of your business. And we haven't had any sponsors on any of our video shows or audio shows to date. And that's the main way that people can help support us to keep making these podcasts and videos for free for you guys. So if you're interested in checking out some of those courses, I would really appreciate any feedback and support to help support the show. Also, another way that we make money through DIY Video Guy is Amazon affiliate links. So if you go to the show notes of any of our episodes or click the Amazon links in our YouTube videos or on our blog posts, any of those links that we put in for Amazon help bring in some revenue. So Amazon paid us about $4,100 last year, so $4,100. We brought in like just under $5,000, but the way Amazon payments work, the November and December holiday season uptick, won't actually get paid until 2016. But, you know, $4,000, that almost pays for that C100 Mark II that we got earlier this year. So it's nothing to just forget. And it's another way for us to help keep making stuff at DIY Video Guy. For production consulting work, we had 12 main clients, and we did just under $130,000 of billable work that was paid in 2015. And so that would be based on when invoices were actually paid. So not if someone's paid for part of an invoice that is a project we haven't quite finished yet that we'll finish in 2016, or they booked a date in 2016 for something and they paid half now, that would be in this year. But $130,000 is a lot of money. That's way more than I've ever made before, but these are also just revenue numbers, and I'll get to expenses and actual net income later. I also did about $7,000 in consulting, public speaking, and coaching. So that was either through people that book planning sessions with me, or one-on-one coaching, or... And those really aren't things that I publicly say that I do, but I do get people emailing me, and we work together in that kind of way. But also doing public speaking or presentations for other people's events or maybe membership sites as well. So getting into the profit and loss for the year, that brought up the total income or revenue to $169,478. So just under $170,000. And with expenses, that includes payroll for Tim working with me, going from the part-time to full-time, as well as all of our expenses for travel, going to events, equipment, services we pay for each month, and everything in between, those expenses came to $58,000. So that brings it to a net profit of $111,000. And like I said earlier, all of these are in the annual review post on DIY Video Guy if you prefer to see charts and graphs and look at numbers instead of hear me say them. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't both excited and disappointed by these financial numbers. On the one hand, this is the most money I've ever made to build a six-figure income for myself as an employee at Boeing, or where I started after school. I was making less than half that, and it's a lot of money, but we also spent a lot of money, both personal and in the business, almost $60,000 in the business, which is crazy that we spent that much in the business, because that's more than I was making right after college when I got my first job. But also personally with the health stuff, being an entrepreneur, you have to then take care of health insurance as well as a lot of out-of-pocket for the things going on with Jen over the last couple of years. We travel a lot. We live in Southern California, which isn't cheap. And so having a high income enables us to do some of those things, but it's still something I was hoping to do even more with in this first full year of running my own business. When I left Fizzle in October 2014, I was scared about whether I could actually do this, about whether I could actually run my own business. And I talked with multiple friends that are entrepreneurs or have worked at startups that I work with, and I asked them advice for how to get money in the door quickly and to build a profitable lifestyle business as a solo entrepreneur. And to them, I'm extremely grateful, as they either really encouraged me by being excited and optimistic for me, and some of them I even ended up working with, or I was very challenged by them as to whether I should save up some money first, which actually motivated me even more to prove that I could do it without setting aside savings. Do I recommend that you quit your job and go do something that you haven't made money doing very much before and risk it like that without having some savings? No, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to someone, but I had work lined up or knew I could get work in the door based on my skills and connections already. And that kind of confidence pushed me through to make the leap without a bunch of savings to live off of for a while. That being said, after a couple of good months of client work in 2014, I looked at 2015 with two financial goals. The first one was I wanted to do $250,000 in revenue. So that would have been $250,000. We did about $170,000. So not quite all the way there, but close to what my goal was. And then my stretch goal was to do $250,000 in net profit. And I failed to reach even half that at $111,000 or so. And halfway through the year, we were on track to hit that, the $250,000 revenue. But part of that was we had a lot of client projects that had been paid for that then still had to be completed over the next few months. We took on some smaller projects instead of some of the bigger ones. And I also spent almost 2 months completely offline the second half of the year between the 1 month long trip that I took in the UK and Ireland with my wife. We spent time for a week in Hawaii. We went to Cabo for about a week, the holidays, another trip to Portland. So I really only worked hardcore for 4 out of the last 6 months, which I think did put a damper on things, but you work to live, not live to work, hopefully. So I enjoyed this year way, way more than maybe I expected to at the beginning of the year. So you kind of have to look at both facets of the hustle and the coasting. And I really just need to find a way to keep doing both while still growing the business financially, growing the team, paying the team better, being able to do better work, growing our skills artistically and our abilities to make better videos, both for DIY Video Guy and our teaching arm, as well as in our production client work arm, and have more people in the company and maybe have a physical workspace outside of the home come 2017. So let's double it next year. Let's see if I can grow the audience at DIY Video Guy. Let's see if I can grow the income through more courses and better courses and reaching more people and go from there. So what am I really working towards in 2016? Number one, I want to have better rituals and habits. I failed to build the habit of writing, exercising, and learning. I did do each of those things, but not on a very consistent basis, which those three things I think are some of the main building blocks for having a productive and profitable business, as well as a healthy and grounded life. So I instead fall into working long sporadic hours, maybe consuming too much noise that I consider homework or being in the know of what everyone else is doing, and maybe only getting in walks with my dog Pippa instead of going to lift weights or go for a surf session or do something else physical. Number two, I want less days that are kind of coasting or half-assed, for lack of a better term. When we have a shoot scheduled, a product launch upcoming, or a due date for a client, Tim and I work really, really hard. We hustle and we focus. When we don't have those kinds of deadlines, we work at a slower, less productive speed. Now, I know there are different seasons and speeds of working, but I like to either work hard or play hard. I either like to be focused for a full day on work or be traveling or relaxing in San Diego. So I like to treat our internal work more like a client is paying us to do it, which means scheduling when we shoot and deadlines for when things get done. Number three, I want to do more outbound sales. So for the production arm of my video business, there are specific companies I want to partner with and type of projects I want to work on. And the only way for that to happen, other than sitting back and hoping that these companies contact me, is to seek them out, seek out people at the company, share my ideas and visions for working together, and position ourselves as a best option and investment for doing what they want to do at the company. And if I don't do that this year, I'm sure I'll be writing this exact thing down and sharing it again on the podcast during my next annual review. Number four, I want a bigger team and a physical workspace outside the home. If I want to do bigger videos, bigger projects, better work, I have found that I need to work with more people. And these could be on staff, or I could collaborate with people that maybe I can't afford to hire full-time or don't have enough work or projects for them to stay busy full-time. But I was able to hire some contractors for specific client projects this year. That live event, I had lighting people come in with professional lighting equipment, with grips and electrics, and had people come and help me work cameras and audio and things. And so I was able to do that a little bit this year, but I'd like to do that more next year and position my business as being able to do those bigger projects, even if I don't have all those people on staff full time. But I would like to have more full time employees in different areas, and I'd like to be able to pay them and myself even more next year, which means more projects, more courses, more revenue. I'd also like to move my office and studio to a separate location from my home, potentially. My wife and I want to move closer to the ocean, which typically means it gets more expensive and you have less room. And right now we have a decent setup for the amount of office and studio space we have for where we live. But if we want to live closer to the ocean, that's probably going to be a sacrifice that we have to make, is the space in our home to be able to work. So that would mean moving to a studio. And if I have more people working with me that are local, I would like to have an office that we all go to. And so doing that in San Diego by the ocean is going to take a decent amount of capital. And so that means bringing money in the door and having recurring income to be able to pay that expense for an office space to shoot in. So there's way more to my annual review that goes into it than I've shared in this. And a lot of it is the planning part, the going forward into 2016. And some of those things that we're going to be doing, I'm going to be sharing about over on the YouTube channel or in the video show. And so be on the lookout for that over the next week or so about what to expect from DIY Video Guy in 2016. But expect more frequency, a focus on growing your presence on YouTube and getting better at making videos for a platform like that. And with this podcast, continuing to do interviews, and the goal is to be more frequent. So a weekly show every week, not taking as many breaks. So there's also personal things and habits and lifestyle and exercise and things I do for an annual review that I don't really get into here. But I encourage you to do an annual review, at least privately, if not publicly, on your site, if it doesn't make sense to do it. And for a few resources on how to do your own annual reviews, the first thing I would do is I would search How to Conduct Your Own Annual Review by Chris Guillebeau, who runs The Art of Nonconformity. He talks about how to do this kind of review. And Fizzle, where I used to work, also has a couple good resources. We have a podcast episode, episode 34 of the Fizzle show, that talks about planning your year and also looking at last year's review. And then there's a post on Fizzle called The End of Year Review and Planning Process Every Small Business and Entrepreneur Should Follow, that my friend Barrett Brooks, who works over at Fizzle right now, wrote. And links to those three things can all be found in the show notes of this episode at diyvideoguide.com/55. And that'll take you to the full written post of the annual review, and those links to those resources are at the bottom. And finally, when I was on my trip to Ireland and Scotland and Great Britain this year, I found out that Scott Dinsmore, who ran Live Your Legend, passed away on a trip with his wife Chelsea while climbing Kilimanjaro. And Scott was a client of mine and a friend. Over the past year, he was part of what helped me get my start in this video production world. And we had the pleasure of working together over the past year, year and a half. And the world lost a great person in Scott. And so seeing something like Scott passing away when he shouldn't have, at the age he's at, and what he's done in the world and the encouragement he's had for people over at Live Your Legend, hit me pretty hard while we were over there. And I know it hit a lot of other people very hard too. And Chelsea's in my thoughts. And if you guys haven't checked out any of Scott's stuff before, start with his TED Talk about doing work that matters, and check out Live Your Legend. And you can see the passion he had in striving for perfection in everything that he did, and encouraging other people to not live normal lives, but to live lives and do work that matters to them. So I miss you, Scott. The world's better off because of you. And here's to you and yours in 2016. Hope to see you guys in a future episode. And take care. And remember, if you're going to do it, might as well do it on video.